Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we can pray for all these requests and needs, whether of health or whether spiritually discernment and need, and direct those that have the needs that we've prayed for to overcome any weakness and fear or anxiety, but tell them to trust in the one that is the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. Help them to take their lives and put them in the hands of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, and be guided by them in all they say and do and even think in their activities that come. Each one that we've prayed for, guide and direct, that Thou mayest comfort them and guide them in what they should do and what they should eat and how they should hope they can sleep well, and direct them in all that they need to do to be well once again. Help us now as we open up Thy Word and Scripture. Guide and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, I read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. I got an email from Brian Shepherd from Texas, where we were there one time at the Dean Brooklyn Society. He said his pastor, who's a Spanish and English speaker, he said, invite us to come. I told him we could come either year after this, or, I mean, either this next year or the year 2 years afterwards. He said either one would be fine. So we'll ask our executive committee to see what the best thing is to see. So that's good. And he also wanted to know, they're starting a Spanish ministry in his church in Texas, and he wanted to get a good Spanish translation. So I told him we're going to be sending Dr. Roberto Gomez's Bible. We're going to be having them at the DBS conference this year. Bring them, and he can look them over. And he wants to know if there's any Spanish books or articles that stand for the King James Bible in Spanish, because they're going to start a Spanish work in that local church. So that's good news. All right, those that are listening to us, welcome, and be sure to give us a call, a comment, anytime that you can on the verses that are here, and pray for us and read with us as you will. Let's read number 47, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 47, 48, and 49. At this time, beginning at verse 47, 1 Corinthians 15, 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they which also are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Right, verse 42. Does the unbelieving word have any idea of who the first man was? Any hands on that? What do they say about the first human being? Dan?
I think it's a cave or something. It was a caveman. He was a half ape, and he was an ape completely.
Mm-hmm.
He evolved into a human.
Do they have any idea who that first ape was?
No.
Or when he was? No. But we
millions
have...
Millions of years ago.
Yes, millions of years ago, which is very strange.
Okay, well, why don't you tell me?
Well, Anna, go ahead.
So I don't remember the exact number, but it was like, I can't remember, 100,000
years ago or 10,000 years ago, all right. But when the Bible talks about the first man, who's the Bible talking about? Yes, Dan? Tammy?
Adam.
I didn't see Bill's hand. All right. Adam. Now notice, where was, according to this verse number 47, where was Adam taken from? Hands on that? Where was he taken from? Yeah, Bell.
The dust of the earth.
The dust of the earth, right there in Genesis.
Verse
47. Verse 47. 15:47.
1 Corinthians 15:47.
Oh, okay.
Taken right from the earth. Dust. Now, can any human being make a person, man, woman, or child from dust?
No.
No. Can God?
Yes.
Yes, and He did. He did. He's the first man. Now, what do some of the Bible teachers say about the pre-Adamic race? Any hands on that? The pre-Adamic race. Bill?
That's a product of their own imagination.
All right.
That's it.
And is it true or false?
Oh, absolutely false.
Absolutely false. He's the first man. That means first. Yeah, Bob?
Sometimes in explaining where Adam, in
and Eve, where they got their wives and, mm-hmm. and husbands. At least that was a, you know, the first creation. And there were still some people left roaming around the earth.
But who was it, the first man or was somebody else the first man?
Somebody else.
Somebody else was the first man?
The first man. And, but it, they say it's like a different period. We have ours beginning with Genesis, and we're afraid of it. But before that, they say there was some kind of something going on in people.
Yeah, they believe there's a pre-Adamic creation, pre-Adamic civilization. Bill?
They try and insert a time period between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Mm-hmm. Which is absolutely false.
Right.
Because Genesis 1:2 is a commentary on verse 1.
Mm-hmm. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. So the world and the Christians that read it or believe the Bible believe there's a pre-Adamic creation. And the world says there's no pre-Adamic creation or anything else. It just came out of animals and from dust and so on. Completely false. Bill?
There is absolutely no evidence, no fossil record of any animal evolving into another kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
No evidence.
Ancient times are not in present times. You can go to the back rooms of any museum. The Academy of Natural Sciences has mm-hmm. one there that's not on exhibit where they keep their main fossil collection.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I used to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see thousands and thousands of fossils in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not one example of an animal evolving into another kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever. You could, that holds true all through the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are millions and millions of fossils in collections
mm-hmm.
Throughout the world. No animal evolving into another kind mm-hmm. of animal. Not one.
Then why do men and women believe this thing?
Because they refuse to believe in God.
Okay. Dan? Oh, sure. Go ahead.
And it's the only thing that they can come up with.
Dan?
So rejecting the truth of the scriptures.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And Darwin led them down that path. I mean, he made it available for them to believe.
Mm-hmm. Anna,
a lot
then.
Of people believed it first.
Anna, then Bill.
Because they rejected the truth. But.
Good, Anna.
It's like it says in Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
That's good. And where are they picking this up? Where are they taught this nonsense? There are three different places I can think of. What are they? Where are they taught this? Any hands on that?
In today's world?
Yes. Where are they taught evolution and nonsense such as that?
In the classes at school.
In school?
Where their parents sometimes
That's right.
don't believe.
Parents themselves, schools, and what about seminaries and Bible colleges as well.
Sometimes parents.
Parents. They believe this nonsense. It's a sad thing. Of the earth, the first man. That's verse 47, 1 Corinthians 15:47. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Then there's another man mentioned in verse 47. Who is that referring to? What is he called? Any answer on that?
Did we talk about the first man?
Yes, Adam. We've talked about that. What other man is there? Yvonne?
He was second man.
And who is that?
The Lord from heaven.
The Lord Jesus Christ. From heaven. Now, do people in this world, and many pastors and preachers and church people, believe that he's the Lord, first of all? Do they believe he's the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ?
Many people do not.
Many people do not. And do you think he's from heaven? Do they believe he's from heaven? Pastor Dan?
They just think he was a good person. Mm-hmm. If they believe in him at all, they just believe he's a good person,
mm-hmm.
maybe a prophet, but not the Son of God, not deity.
How do they think he came about into being? What is their thought? How did the liberals, the moderates, the unbelievers, the atheists get better than?
Roman soldier.
Roman soldier, and they probably have the right mother. Who was the mother?
They probably do. Roman soldier. That's wrong. They falsely teach that. We don't
falsely teach that.
Falsely teach Roman soldier or some other.
Some other human being. Did he have any other human being that was the father? Mary was his mother. Was there any human being other than that?
No, that's all we have.
No, nothing at all. So he had to be from heaven. How did he get from heaven to earth? Any hands on that? How did the Lord from heaven? Yeah, fine. I mean, Pastor Dan?
Incarnation.
The incarnation. How would you define that, Pastor Dan? The incarnation.
The eternal God becoming flesh.
All right.
Taking upon himself flesh. And the fullness of time has come. God sent forth his son made of a
woman, made under the law.
Made under the law.
Mm-hmm. And so, carnation talks about flesh. So, incarnation. Oh, my, no, I forgot that. I should have taken this off before. Forgot. I did it. Yes, hello, Jacob and Gail.
Pastor Wade, hello.
Hello.
I just called to say we're watching, and you know that thing you said about why these atheists don't believe? They basically, most of these people don't believe in a literal flood, right?
Yes, that's right.
Literal worldwide flood over here in 2 Peter 3. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And they don't much believe in judgment either, because this next one, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Scoffers too. Scoffing is coming. You know, you said they teach a lot of this in the seminaries, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and they also scoffed at all the major doctrines, and this is a big one now.
Sure is.
His coming is a big one. They're scoffing.
That's right.
And they want to break the kingdom. They're sure they can break the kingdom.
Yes. Thank you very much, Jacob.
For this they willingly are ignorant of. It's self-will.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Lord bless you and your mother. Bye-bye. Yes, Pastor Dan.
I can throw the previous century, back to the beginning of the 20th century, back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, Baylor University, Southern Baptist School, began teaching evolution.
Mm-hmm. So there's a devolution in teaching from Scripture down to common ordinary sense, which is nonsense in many cases, denying all the truths that are there. But the second man, the Lord, from heaven. And what was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? What was his, what is his personal? What is his, yes, Pastor Dan?
Omnipotent.
Which means?
All
powerful.
Okay, Mr. Adam.
Yes, hello.
Yes, Pastor Wade. This is Rebecca Howell from South Carolina. With a comment.
Yes, Rebecca. Glad to hear from you. Go ahead.
Yes, verse 47, the second part, being the second man is the Lord from heaven. We talked about this a little bit last week, but just as a little story, today I had the opportunity to witness to two Jehovah's Witnesses who came to our door. And it's interesting because they, of course, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that he was an angel and that he was turned into a man. But it's interesting. It all goes back to the Word and what is the Bible, what is the preserved by our Word. And they use the New World Translation. And, you know, I use the AD 1611. And so it's just interesting that that's where it all goes back to. Is that if they have the word and they read it, they would see that Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. You know, that and Trinity and hell and all of that. So just a comment about that one in scripture.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Rebecca, thank you very much for your comment. Let's wave to Rebecca in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. Glad to see you there. Glad you called. Praise the Lord. And her husband is working tonight, but Rebecca is there. So the Lord from heaven, omnipotent, omnipresent, everywhere present, and it's amazing, Paul is telling this to the Corinthian church, and many people today don't believe it. Don't even believe there are such things as a first man for creation, it's the evolution and so on. Don't believe there's a second man, certainly not from heaven, just a human being and so on. And then in verse number 48, there's an analogy here, as, so well, such.
48?
Verse 48. What is the analogy here that he's bringing up in this verse 48? What is the comparison? Any hands on that? Yeah, Tammy.
As the earthy, referring to the first man? First
yes, man, probably so, Adam.
The, mm-hmm. Such are they that are earthly, referring to humans,
mm-hmm.
and also unsaved.
Yes. I
mean, it could be either one.
All human beings, yeah, probably. And what's it comparing it to in verse 48?
The earthy.
Okay, and what's the other part of this?
The heavenly.
And who is the heavenly? Who is the heavenly in verse 47?
Well, it could refer to those that are saved.
Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord from heaven.
The Lord himself.
Yes, okay. And so they that have genuinely trusted Christ as Savior are called heaven. In other words, we're bound for heaven, those that are genuine Christians. And so also they that are heavenly. So there's earth and there's heaven. There's a contrast, isn't there? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. If there's a call or comment, glad to hear from you. Glad for those who called already. And so 45, 47, 48, and 49. Now in verse 49, who is the we referred to there? Any hands on that? Who is the we? Tammy?
I suppose it's all humans.
Is it?
Well, it applies to all humans. We have borne the image of the earth.
Okay. Now who's the second we referred to? Pastor Dan?
Those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior,
all right,
are the earthy is still in them, but they also bear the image of the heavenly.
All right.
And everyone has the image of the earthly Adam, and those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior now have his image of the heavenly.
Mm-hmm. So, as it says in 46, not first which is spiritual, that which is natural, after that which is spiritual. So, we all have borne the image of the earthly, but only genuine Christians shall bear the image of the heavenly. What will that image look like? Any hands on that? What will that image look like?
What's your question?
What will the image of the heavenly look like?
We like him, for we shall see him as he is.
All right, and who's the him referred to there? Like him. That's right. Tam?
The Lord Jesus
Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Only those genuine Christians, God says, will be like the Lord Jesus. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and all PFTBC Church family there in Collinswood, and also to those watching by the internet. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. God bless and his love, Carl and Vicki.
Let's wave to Carl and Vicki Albert over there. And
tell them about the conference, Pastor.
Ah, okay. Here's Barbara LeMaster. Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
Good evening, Pastor Wade. Hi, everybody. What shall we look like? For our conversation is in heaven, from what also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 3:20-21.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Barbara. Let's wave to Barbara LeMaster right here in New Jersey.
Hi, Barbara.
Thank you. So that's right, the image of the heavenly, like the Lord Jesus Christ, made like unto him. Very important. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Glad for those who joined our class this evening from all over the different areas. and continue to call in if you can. So, now when will that bearing of the image of the heavenly take place of those genuine Christians mentioned in verse 48? When will that take place? Any hands on that? Yes, Tam?
And either at the rapture or when we die and go to heaven.
All right, at the rapture or when we die and go to heaven. Now, when we go to heaven, will we have our glorified bodies at that point?
I guess not. Okay.
We'd have an intermediate body. That's right. Pastor Dan?
Well, it's the rapture.
At the rapture, that's right. The rapture, there'd be these bodies of clay will be changed and transformed completely. Made like out of the glorious body of our Savior, as Barbara just said. Yvonne?
Well, as the trumpet blows, that's the rapture, is it?
Yes,
And then as we wake up from the dead, somewhere between getting out of that casket and starting our upward journey to heaven, something, our bodies change so we can be up there without a spacesuit.
All bodies of everybody in the caskets?
No, the Christians.
The Christians and the Christians. Okay, Tammy.
In the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen instantaneously.
We get through that pretty soon in verse number 51, will we not? All right, that's fine. So, did we read 50 yet or not?
No,
let's read 47, 80, and 9. Let's
51.
Let's read 50, 51, 52 together.
Now
this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right there, in verse number 51, what is the word? So, who's the brethren he's speaking to here? Who would those be? The brethren. Pastor Dan?
Probably the Christians at Corinth.
I believe the Christians at Corinth. By application, those are genuine Christians anywhere at any time. What does it say about them? In verse 49. Are we in 50? We're in 49, right?
No,
50. We're in 50. Okay, 50. Okay. What is flesh and blood? Well, Pastor, Tammy first and then Pastor Dan.
The flesh and blood is the mortal body.
All right, a mortal body.
The kingdom of God.
Okay, Pastor Dan.
And because it can't inherit the kingdom of God, that's why it needs to be changed. By the corruption. Won't inherit incorruption with that, but our glorified bodies, that's why it will be changed. As the verses following are going to tell us about this.
Right. And we will not have necessarily any flesh and blood, at least not the blood. We believe in maybe some sort of a flesh, but we're not sure. The Lord Jesus Christ, was he just a spirit after his bodily resurrection?
No.
What did he say? Different ones. We talked about that last week.
He's seen a spirit had not flesh and bones. No.
Flesh and bones, as you see me.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was, yes.
Yeah,
and so touch me, handle me, see. So you see this as a material substance. But it's not the same flesh and blood that we have in this earthly body. It cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way in the world it's got this inheritance. Now what's the other analogy in the bottom, the last part of verse 50? What's the last part of verse 50? And what does it mean?
It says that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And then it says, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Go ahead.
I guess it means that in order to view the kingdom of God, you'll be in an incorrupt bodies.
All right. What does corruption mean? What does incorruption mean? How would we define that? Any hands on that?
I wonder what we'll look like. It will look strange.
What's the question?
What does corruption mean and what does incorruption mean? How do we define those two words? Tam?
Corruption is subject to decay.
All right. Subject to decay.
And incorruption is the absence, not subject to decay.
Not subject to decay, no corruptibility. Now, did the Lord's body, when he was, how many days in the grave was he? How many days? Ten? Anna?
You already said it.
What?
It's already just been said.
How many days was he in the grave?
You answered
it. Three days and three nights.
Okay, so 3 days and three nights. How many hours is that? 72 hours. That's right.
72 is 3 hours.
72 hours. Huh? That's 3 days and three nights. 24 hours a day, 24 hours times 3. So it says very clearly that corruption can inherit incorrupt. What does incorruption mean? I guess Tammy answered that already. Now, we haven't read 52 yet, have we? I guess we did.
We're ready for 51 now.
Oh, 51. All right. What did we say for a mystery was? Did we define that yet, Tammy?
A sacred secret.
Sacred secret. And what is going to be true of the next part of verse 50? Or rather, verse 51. What's going to be happening about the sacred secret? Pastor Dan?
We shall not all sleep.
Who's the we refer to there? The 10?
Born again Christians.
All right.
They're not all going to die. Sleep.
That's right.
Die.
Sleep meaning die. But what is true?
Where are we now?
Verse 51. What is true? Not all necessarily sleep, but what is.
All be changed.
All changed. The changes that will be brought to pass. How are those changed? Who's going to change those bodies? Who's the originator? Dan?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ himself. We cannot change. We can't change our bodies. We're just in the bodies. That's what it is. Our bodies do change from time to time. The flesh blood does change. We get older, more decrepit, different things. But when incorruption will not inherit, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Now, did we read 52 yet? We did. How long will it take for the Lord Jesus Christ to change these corruptible mortal bodies? Bill?
In the twinkling of an eye.
Twinkling of an eye. Just a moment. Just a second. You see, how can people that don't believe the Bible, God's miracles, how can they ever believe that? They don't believe it. How long do you think it took the Lord to create heaven and earth and all the things that are in them? Scripture says, after that?
Six solar days.
That's right, 6 solar days. And did it take him very long on those solar days to do the creation?
Well, we weren't there.
We weren't there. But did it take him long?
He only had 24 hours.
Okay. But could man ever create what God did in these 6 days? No. 10?
Give him a lifetime, he can create one thing.
No. Just think of just one planet and stars. They say there are several millions of galaxies and so many millions of stars in each galaxy. It's amazing. But those, yeah, Anna?
Well, let's see. All the stars and the moon and all the planets, all that was just me. That was one day.
Yes, one day.
And then four days. That were spent on earth.
Mm-hmm. And all the things that are on earth, that's good. So, in a moment, what's a twinkling of an eye? What does that mean? Any hands on that?
Hand?
Fonda, I'm saying hand. You ready?
No, I didn't hear
him say hand. Okay. Go ahead, Fonda. You got your hand up?
What was the question again?
What's a twinkling of an eye?
It's like a gleam.
What?
It's like a gleam in a person's eye.
Could be, Pastor Dan.
Like if you have people that love each other.
Could be. Is that a twinkle? Could be, Pastor Dan.
Fraction of a second.
Fraction of a second? What about
what
the eye?
What
would the eye? What's his eye business?
Twinkling
of an eye.
What would that mean?
I can't hear it.
What would that mean?
I can't hear it, Dan.
Pastor Dan?
Fraction of a
fraction of a second, a blink.
Fraction, just okay, the so blink, that's what I'm looking at. It's like the eye. You blink your eye.
Blink.
You blink your eye. Well, the word twinkling, I have to look at the Greek on that, I'm sure, but, you know, twinkling, some twinkle.
Twinkle, twinkle.
Little star.
So it twinkles when the light closes.
Yeah.
So it's, the eye, when it closes, there's no more light in the back of it.
So Anna, and then Bill. Anna, and then Bill. Go ahead.
Like when the light shines on your eye, and you move your eye about, and the light flickers out the reflection.
All right. Bill, what you have?
Rob, we're off with a grad.
Good. Bill, before Rob, or I'll wait till Rob.
Okay. By the time you notice that there was something that twinkled,
yeah,
it's already complete.
Okay. You're Rob. Right ahead. Thank you. Welcome, Rob, from Chicago.
Hi, Pastor. Just talking about the bodies and Kevin, I just wanted to bring up Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, and this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus, the millennium, I believe. And what shall say unto
him? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob. Dave Howell called in. Call back, Rob, please. Dave Howell called. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. David Howell. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Pastor, wait, I read the doctor's explanation of what a twinkling of an eye is, and he said it's not, if your eye is focused on a subject matter, if you blink your eye in regular blinking, it's the amount of time it takes your eye to focus back on that same subject matter, which is, like Pastor Dave said, it's less than a fraction of a second, a millisecond that it takes to do that. That's what the doctor said, anyway. I don't know.
Very good. The focus. Back getting the focus.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Let's wave to Dave Howell there in South Carolina. Rob, please call back. I'm sorry about that. There is another call. And push the button. Go ahead, call. Rob, give me another call, please.
Sometimes.
That's interesting. How the twinkle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So,
yeah, fine.
Sometimes between two people that love each other, or a mother and child, but two people that love each other, and they can, if they see each other across the room, they can give a certain eye, because there's an eye.
Yes, sometimes that's the case. The twinkling of an eye. And then, here it is, Rob. Rob, okay. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry I had that implication. Tell them I was waiting. I didn't know. It said it was wait, but they didn't wait, so go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Is that speaker?
Are you there, Rob?
Can we answer?
Well, I'm ready to go. Rob, I didn't get you.
No.
Okay, Rob, but call again. I don't know why I didn't answer. Try again, Rob. All right. So what else in verse number 52? The last trumpets will sound. We had another the blink of an eye, the last trump. Now, what about the trump? What trump is that?
Donald
Trump. Okay, see if he's there. Hey, hi, Rob. Go right ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Hello.
Go ahead, I got you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, they're here now. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to read Zechariah chapter 13:6.
All right.
And that's just the Lord Jesus in the millennium. And we're talking about bodies in heaven. Well, this is the Lord's body in the millennium. And what shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
Yes.
And I'd just like to mention also that verse is another verse is corrupted in the modern versions.
Yes. How's it corrupted, Rob?
Here, let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
And I'll tell you. It's something about
Yes.
And then the New International Version, what are these wounds on your body? And then the New American Standard Bible, what are these wounds between your arms?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Yes.
And it's terrible.
And what does the King James Bible say?
King James Bible says, what are these wounds in thine hands?
In thine hands. Wounded in the hands on the cross of Calvary. Very good.
And they got every different version has a different one. They got your chest, your body, your back.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Well, thanks, Rob. Appreciate your comment. God bless. Okay. All right. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-908. We've got the waves, Rob. Let's wave there. Bill, we forgot to... Okay, Rob. Appreciate the interruption, Rob. Did a good job coming back. All right, so any other questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Yes, Tammy.
There was a comment from the peanut gallery that...
Go ahead.
...that the last Trump was the president, but I'm saying it's actually Barron Trump.
Barron Trump will be the last president, that's true. So the trumpet will sound. And in the Old Testament... Okay. We'll go back to trumpets later. Yes, hello, Barbara. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Wade. Just wanted to know about the trump. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I find it interesting that the first trump in Exodus 19:19 was the giving of the law that could not give life or make man perfect or righteous or anything. It was the law. It pointed to what we didn't know what sin was unless we had the law.
Mm-hmm.
But this last trump, when we are born again, we have eternal life from that moment on. Now we have to be changed to get to heaven to be with Jesus, but we have eternal life. So the last
Very good. Thank you very much, Barbara. Let's wave again to Barbara over there in New Jersey, still right in our state. Thank you very much. All right. So the trumpets, you mentioned the trumpets in the Old Testament. There are a lot of trumpets for the feast day. Anna?
Here, let me read this passage that she was referring to.
All right.
So it says, it's in Exodus 19. I'll start on verse 13. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down to the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up.
Okay, good, thank you. Now in verse 52, it says the trumpets will sound. Then what happens? And any hands on that? After the trumpet sounds. Yep, 10?
The dead are going to be raised.
All right.
Incorruptible.
Which dead would be raised incorruptible? Any hands on that?
Physically dead.
All physically dead?
No, the born again Christians.
Are genuine Christians be raised?
Well,
yeah, Vaughn?
I thought we're having different things, like the Old Testament Christian, Old Testament believers, and the children of grace, and you know, these are the same during different periods.
That's true, but in this particular book of 1 Corinthians, who's regarding? Who is it regarding here, Pastor Dan?
Only those that are part of the church.
All right.
Those part of the church. The, yeah, the time right. Here from the Christ death and the cross to the time where the last trump sounds.
Mm-hmm. So as a genuine Christian believers, now will the lost be raised incorruptible? No.
So,
yeah, Vaughn?
So when Dan was teaching Revelation or something, I was reading and studying, and all these new things came to mind. I won't forget what I was
going to
say.
Okay, when it comes to mind, let us know. Yeah. The trumpets are sound. Dead. And who's the we in this verse number 52? Anna, you had something?
I didn't finish making my point.
Oh, good. Finish your train of thought.
It seems like in Exodus, it just seems like the trumpet was coming from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way I was understanding it. And here in 1 Corinthians and also like Thessalonians,
mm-hmm.
the trumpet will also come from heaven. So it wasn't a priest that was blowing
right.
the trumpet. It was a trumpet from heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vaughn?
The different kind of people that have died that are believers, like the Old Testament believers, I don't know if they're born again. I don't think they're born again.
Well, they use that term, New Testament term for the genuine Christians in this age, as we live.
And then the people that are in the church age, and I don't know any of the tribulation period, I don't really know. And then when they, but see, when Jesus comes, isn't he coming for his church? He's not coming for the Old Testament people.
They have a different time period for resurrection.
They have a different ascension and descension and all that
mm-hmm.
for a different person. I mean, I never thought about this before until I read that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Dan?
No, this is phase one of the rapture, phase one of the second coming is only for mm-hmm. those that are part of the body of Christ, the church,
mm-hmm.
those saints in the church age, born again, generally saved Christians,
mm-hmm.
either they're still living or they have died in Christ, the dead in Christ,
mm-hmm.
talks about in this passage.
And so therefore the we here means what? In verse...
Everything that said. Everyone that Pastor Dan just said.
Which is? Which is?
It was about three sentences long.
Well, basically, who are they?
The born again Christians.
Genuine Christians of the we here. Verse number 52, who's the we there? Genuine Christians, true Christians. What's going to happen to these true Christians at this moment, twinkling of an eye?
They'll be changed.
In what way are they going to be changed?
Their bodies.
Their bodies will be changed. Their whole nature. Yavah?
See, when Christ calls, the believers that are dead, get out of their caskets somehow. The believers that are alive, they'll all go up together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say something, and I want to get this part. Forget what I'm trying to say.
Okay, when it comes to you, let us know.
Well, like the Old Testament people. Now, they're, you know, I'm going to go and talk to Abraham, and I'm going to run around with Rebecca up there and Rachel, find out what it's like there when they have a baby and all that.
But there's a resurrection of Israel, a resurrection of the genuine Christians, a separate resurrection. See, they're not all together. In heaven, we'll be there together, but there's separate times and places. Anna?
Well, see, when the rapture happens, the Old Testament saints won't be resurrected, at least. But they're still in heaven in their intermediate bodies. It's like mm-hmm. the souls under the altar of a certain saint. Well,
that's
technically the tribulation saints. Mm-hmm. Still the same. Sort of. I'm not explaining what I'm
trying to get
it. Yes.
Well.
I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to, because I never thought about this. And not making it very plain because I can't make, I keep forgetting what I think.
When you get it screwed on right, let us know. Let's read verses 53, 54, 55. Then we'll close for the night, and we'll take this up, Lord willing, next Thursday. 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? All right. Is that three?
Yeah, that's three.
Okay. Any other comments or questions though, before we close for the evening? We'll pick this up or going next Thursday. All right. If none questions, let's close the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy words. Thou didst cause chosen men, chosen vessels, to receive from the Holy Spirit thy words, in either Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, and put them down on paper. We thank thee, Lord, thou hast given us the words. We thank thee for these words in 1 Corinthians about the glorious resurrection of genuine Christians at the last trump. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, just a very short length of time, and have new bodies like unto the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrected body. We thank thee for this. We ask thee, Lord, to keep looking up for present time when we're in the old flesh, the old Adamic flesh, we may glorify the second man from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our fleshly bodies. Day by day, we bring us back on the Lord's day and cause us to live for our Savior, moment by moment, day by day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.